Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined by my co-host, Cody Thompson. What's the word today, Cody?
Actually, mediocre. I'm not doing great. We're putting carpet in our house. I was up late moving all the stuff around. It's really not a fun time.
All we're asking for is honesty. So we appreciate that. Yeah. You know, everybody's
it's
like,
not I'm great.
All right. How about you, Tracy?
I'm doing great. But Cody, I do love your honesty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, this topic gets me a little riled up. So that's the other mediocre reason. But we'll explore it, see how it goes.
How you doing, Matt? Thumbs up, thumbs down in the middle? Thumbs up. Good. Hey, Cody, so what is this topic that's going to rile you up? What are we talking about?
Well, we titled it Poisonous Candy.
That's right. Poisonous Candy. It's something that looks good. Looks like we should like it, but then you look at it harder and it could be very dangerous. So we've given away our point of view on this. Here's what we're talking about. There's something going on in the legislature of California, and this is not a political conversation. It's about policy as it relates to work. And I was thinking as I read the introduction today about making employees more fulfilled and less miserable, right? So the state legislature of California is contemplating, I can't imagine it would pass, but again, we're in California, so crazy stuff happens. They're considering limiting the work week in California to 32 hours for any company above, I think it's 500 employees. So mm-hmm. If you have any big company or medium-sized company, even 500 people, that has to limit the work week to 32 hours, and anything they make people work beyond that, they'd have to pay time and a half. Now, poisonous candy comes about because we think like, well, that's great. People wouldn't have to work as hard. Of course, there's so many other implications of this. So there's really two things we need to talk about today. One, which will be pretty quick, I think, and that is the merits of legislating something like that. And then two, just the merits of a 32-hour work week versus a 40-hour. So let's first talk about mandating this for all companies above 500. Go, Cody. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Pat. Thanks for the floor. Now I get to stand on my soapbox here. No. This is the reason that I've gets like ruffles my feathers a little bit is because even before we get into just the mandate thing is I feel like we're constantly, you know, banging the same drum over and over again. And that's what our whole podcast is about, is that the underlying premise of this entire law or this legislation is that people don't want to work and jobs suck. And so we should just limit people from going to work. And I just wish that more people would get on the train of, boy, this can be fulfilling and it can lead to having people having dignity and companies can be better. But rather than incentivize companies to be better, we go, well, we'll just knock down a day of work here.
Right. Yeah. And that the idea is if a person's doing something they love, the idea that they should do less of it is ridiculous. Now, obviously, if somebody's working 70 hours a week in a coal mine, there's a need for legislation and limits and all those other things. But that's not most, the vast, vast, vast majority of the economy doesn't work in that way. And if a person loves their work, incenting their employer to limit them to 32 hours seems crazy.
Right. And I get it could come across as feeling like a little like rosy colored glasses or apple pie and baseball all the time to say like, oh, work can always be so fulfilling. But there was an electrician at our house and this guy loved his job and it was amazing. And I just ran into a HVAC guy outside who works for a company here, loves his work, loves the people he works with. So I'm not just saying like, oh, there's, you know, the coal miner, sure, but there's opportunity in every job to find a way to make it meaningful, impactful, and enjoyable. And rather than try to legislate companies to do stuff like that, we just say, well, that's going to be miserable. So why don't you guys just take a day off?
Yeah. And you know, and that's why we're going to move into the idea of the 32-hour work week, because if you're not mandating it, but an employer wants to try it, that's called innovation. They're like, I wonder if our people could get their work done in 32 hours and be just as happy. I say, go for it. Try it. It might work. It might not. Then you can change it. Innovation happens when companies have the freedom to try new things. It's just like whether you work home or whether it's virtual or all that. If it's a disadvantage, you're going to see that and you're going to adjust. If 32 mm-hmm. hours is not enough, you're going to adjust. So right. I'm all for the freedom to try this. The idea that the government will tell people this. You know, Matt has a buddy from college that we see every once in a while. He works for the government And he has a very interesting job doing what he studied in school. He was an engineer and he works for the government. At his job now, he cannot. He is forbidden from working more than 40 hours. He lives in a not attractive place. It's very remote because of the nature of the work he does. And his boss will get in serious trouble if this guy stays at work for more than 40 hours. Now, he might love what he's doing, and he does, and he wants to do more of it. And he goes, no, they literally kick us out of the building and make us go home and sit in our crappy apartment in this crappy place because the government has decided that working more than 40 hours is terrible. So anyway, it's crazy. And he's passionate. He has mission passion for what he does.
You're right. I'll calm down slightly in the sense that I love the idea that there's a market for innovation. And if there's a company that can get everything they're getting done with 40-hour work weeks and 32 hours and their employees can be out on a day a week, that's wonderful. But the idea that we're going to make a like legislation, even that word alone, and sort of like let a law sort of dictate the innovation around the businesses or even dictate how much someone can participate in their work, that just feels like just a recipe for disaster. It feels like poisonous candy.
It's crazy, I know. So let's go into the pros and cons of implementing something like this.
Right. Well, and I studied econ, Tracy, in undergrad, and I remember very little of it, but I do remember a few things, and that is if you force people to pay higher wages, which is essentially what would happen, because if Apple Computer decides, hey, we want our engineers to work more than this, basically you're legislating that they're going to have to pay more for that. Here is what happens just from the physics or economic standpoint. Their prices are going to have to go up. So the consumer, so that's called inflation. So something like this would drive inflation up. Prices would go higher. Or if the company decided we can't raise our prices because customers won't tolerate that, they're going to hire fewer people and just work them harder. So either inflation is going to go up or unemployment is going to go up. And on top of that, companies are going to go, wow, there's another country over there where we could set up our factory and they could work harder. So that's going to drive unemployment even more in our country because people are going to start going overseas to do work because it doesn't cost as much. So again, the poisonous candy is like, that looks like it would taste good, but it's going to make you very sick. That's mandating it. Now let's talk about whether or not what the pros and cons are of an employer even trying it. Let's just say a company said, we're gonna go for this on our own. What do you think the pros are of this? I think there's probably some obvious ones.
We actually know a company that does this really well. It's a coaching group in the Pacific Northwest, and the founder loves to surf, right? And so they had a long time. They took Fridays off. And it was, you know, their company culture, it's built into the company culture. And so they attracted people that were sort of adventurous, and it's a coaching business, so they could sort of change their hours a little bit and do a little more in the evenings with their clients. So that's wonderful. Again, I'm not here to say, oh, I think it's not great to give people that flexibility and freedom. It actually was a feature of that company that helped them do more, not something that was a flaw.
Well, and two things about that, I think, is they opted into it. They said, hey, do you want to work here? This is what we have. And there is going to be some implication on your salary. And people were making a good trade-off. Like, yeah, that's a good trade-off. Although the question also then becomes, were they working only 32 hours a week or did they fit 40 hours a week into 4 days? Because I've always thought the merits of that might be great. It's like, hey, let's all work longer days Monday through Thursday and then have a long weekend. Again, all of this is fantastic because it's innovation and people trying things. And it worked for them. It really worked for them.
I just can't separate the idea that, I mean, I love the subtitle of your book, The Advantage, because it says why organizational health trumps everything else in business. I would believe that people tend to read that and think, oh, that trumps strategy and it trumps finances and all these things, which is true. But the other thing that is true about it that it trumps is that it trumps all the crappy incentives that you try to give people to want to work at your company, like a slide that goes to a snack room or a vending machine that you can just get AirPods in, you know. But what it trumps is the idea is that if you create a culture that has this level of clarity and alignment and purpose, and you're putting people in jobs where they can do what they're supposed, like what they're wired to do, morale and productivity go up, the underside of what it trumps is not just more success and business results. It's about the enjoyment of the people that work there. It really is the have your cake and eat it too situation. And what I react to the most in circumstances like this is what it feels like is a reaction to, well, people don't want to work. Mm-hmm. And if the government, that is true of most government jobs. I don't disagree with that. If they're using their own organizations to assess how many hours a week people want to be there, of course they're going to choose less than more. But if they're legislating that, it just feels like it's assessing the wrong problem and providing the wrong solution.
You know, and the problem is there's a lot of great people that work in government that would like to work with the same passion and sense of purpose as the private sector, but they're being limited. In other words, so it's not that like bad people work in government, good people don't, but good people go to work in government and are restricted by rules and policies that were set up by people who think that work is inherently bad, as you said earlier. And Matt made a great comment here. He said that he doesn't think there are a lot of coal mines left in California. Now, I think you're wrong, Matt. Everywhere I look, I see a coal mine. I see people coming out covered in soot, you know, if that's what it is. And that's the crazy thing. It's like we're making these laws for early 20th century Pennsylvania, not for the high-tech community or for a service economy or, idea economy.
I mean, this emergence of sort of this gig economy where, I mean, there are a lot of people out there who want to opt into a job where they have flexibility as their primary, that is the thing they value most. Maybe it isn't, oh, I am super passionate about the mission of the organization, or maybe it isn't, I love getting to do this work. And the thing is, that's what I love about the free market is there are companies that have jobs where those are the levers. This is why, so people can join those companies. And I think that this legislation thing, I think the reason I have this vehement reaction to it is because it won't solve the problem that they're wanting to solve. And what it will eventually do is undermine not only the people that work there, but the GDP, the gross, what we're putting out in the world. And this is one thing I love about being in our country where there's so much innovation and so much, business, like people can start a business overnight it's harder to become a hairstylist. You have to do 1,000 hours of cutting someone's hair as practice before you can become a certified hairstylist. You can start a business tomorrow. That's wonderful. And I just hate the legislation.
You want to be a surgeon or do you want to cut hair? It's going to be about the same amount of practice time or an airline pilot. You know, what's interesting about this, because I think you mentioned a word before, and Tracy, you and I can relate to this. We've worked at the same company for years. And that is, if you have flexibility, I think that's actually far more valuable than hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today I came in, I said, oh, where's Danny? And Danny's daughter went to camp for a week. And she got a tick last night and she had to be in the hospital last night. And then she's back at camp. So Danny's like, I'm going to work at home today. Danny's going to crank. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the idea that she can say, I'm going to stay home with my son and I'm going to work from home. We're like, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's not about the number of hours. It's about having flexibility. I know when we started our own company, Tracy, we worked far more hours than we did before and had so much more fun.
Yeah, we were so much happier because we enjoyed what we were doing. And if the government told us we could only work 32 hours, that would have crushed us.
Yeah.
So as you guys are talking, sorry, I know that I've been on one point here the whole time, but I think the other underlying thing is there probably are a number of companies, a handful of them, that are sort of abusing the people that work for them and making them work longer hours. Sure. And forcing them to do that stuff. And that's true. And I would hope that people wouldn't work in those organizations. And sometimes maybe you don't have options. But what it feels like is that is not true of the majority. And when we make legislation for the anomalies, the companies that are maybe abusing that apply to everyone, I think that's the thing that feels that, like, we know of I think they're called Cambridge Manufacturing, Cambridge Engineering. Most of their workers work in a factory on a line, and it is one of the healthiest organizations that I've ever run into. The executives, they find ways to bring organizational health and allow people to think of ideas even as low as on the line level. And it's like, it feels like this is just possible in any industry. And some people, you know, that some people who abuse it are just, they don't have the same philosophy of work as we do. And maybe that's the underlying thing that makes my sort of gut churn when we're talking about this.
And the abusive industries are generally unionized. And so there's a union trying to protect them from getting abused, which is a really good use of that kind of situation. Gosh, I was thinking about something else and I just forgot it, Cody, but I'm going to remember in just a second. I think we ran into those Cambridge guys last week when we were out in Florida.
And, oh, did we?
I did. I ran into one of them. So you didn't know that. So yeah, and it's just wonderful to talk to companies that in that kind of work. Oh, I know what I was going to say. If a person did their working genius and found out that their job was spending most of their time in their working frustration, 32 hours is still way too many.
Totally. I mean,
they're going to be miserable. If a person was doing something they loved, 40 hours is probably not enough. I mean, even if they're limited, they're probably going to go home and read about things on their own and work on things on their own. And so like, there's a guy that lives across the street from me who's an engineer. And when he is not working, he's on his own building a replica rocket ship of the rocket that's going to Mars that he's going to scale. So this is a guy that does 70 hours of engineering anyway, but he just does 30 of it at home as a hobby.
Right.
And I think that work is best when we kind of blend those two things together with enough balance and enough, but that's usually left up to the person who has to make that decision for themselves. So I think what we're arguing for here is freedom.
I get to be on this podcast sharing my strong opinions with my galvanizing preference. And then when I stop this podcast, I just go do it in real life. It's no different. You know?
You get to galvanize your kids, the guys installing the carpet.
Exactly.
But I really do think that's an important point here is everybody should be doing things that give them joy and energy to a large extent. Nobody can do it all the time. And when you do that, people aren't saying, hey, I don't want to work so many hours. They're saying, I want to make that decision for myself.
Yep.
And that's a good thing. So I think that's enough for today. What do you think, Matt? Thumbs up? We need to keep going? Matt says we're good. Tracy says we're good.
He's giving us the please cut it off symbol. No.
All please right, cut Cody off.
Yeah. So let's not eat poisonous candy. Let's realize there's more nutritious fruit out there. Fruit, God's candy. Let's eat fruit instead. All right. Hey, thanks for joining us, everybody. We love talking to you. We'll see you next time on At the Table. God bless.